This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Dani Mofsovitz is a chairperson of the Jewish Board of Deputies, Gauteng Council. She's also the member of the Jewish Diplomatic Corps of the World Jewish Congress. And it is in this capacity she was invited to speak at the United Nations Human Rights Council 58th session earlier in March. She is my guest now to tell me more. Dani, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Cherise. Thank you for having me.
Dani, firstly, tell me a little bit about the relationship between the World Jewish Congress and the United Nations.
So the World Jewish Congress is an NGO that is invited to speak at the United Nations Human Rights Council. There are a number of NGOs that are active in the human rights space, and obviously the World Jewish Congress advocates for Jewish rights around the world, so they are part of the sessions that the Human Rights Council holds.
And what does it mean to be a diplomat of the World Jewish Congress?
So the Jewish Diplomatic Corps is actually, it's a group of youngish professionals around the world who advocate for Jewish causes. We are situated in, I think, like 150 different countries around the world. And it's about relationship building with players, political figures, other civil bodies, and creating relationships with world Jewry and the broader communities.
So in this capacity, were you chosen? Were other diplomatic corps members there? How did it work? What happens behind the scenes?
Okay, so the World Jewish Congress has an office, a permanent office in Geneva, and there is a brilliant diplomat named Leon Saltiel, and he's posted there permanently. So he is constantly engaging with different role players, from other NGOs to ambassadors, other civil rights organizations. And then I got a call to say there is the UN Human Rights Council session. It's their main one. So there are three sessions a year. Their main one is in March and it's over 4 weeks. And they invited me to come and shadow in the office. I asked the question if there was going to be a whole group, but there was just me on my own. So I got a really intensive learning experience, just me.
That is so exciting. Dani, I can understand why you were chosen. What is it like in the UN? Because for us, it seems like this is such a huge organization, almost not even easy to understand. What was your insight?
Yes. So from the outside, I agree, Cherise, totally. It's this very intimidating body that you kind of, it's all very official and lots of public diplomacy, and it is like that. But when you're there, it's a lot smaller and it's a lot more intimate than it looks from the outside. They are just human beings actually sitting around, I suppose I shouldn't say sitting around. They're there and they are discussing human rights issues from around the world. But it is the idea of it is far more intimidating than the reality of it.
Because it is an established body that's been going, I think, post-World War.
Yes, correct.
It was established, including by South African, Jan Smuts. Am I correct? Is my history correct?
Cherise, you've got me on the spot. I'm sorry. I can't answer that one.
So it has a long history. And I think the feeling that people have, though, is that it's lost its way to a large extent. Is that the feeling you got as well?
So, Cherise, I mean, there was one speech that I made that was about the warning signs and the prevention of genocide. And it's quite an inflammatory subject, but the way that it's structured is that member states give a minute 30 speech, and there's no debate or anything. They say their speech and they move on. And you've got these countries, these member states like Iran and Iraq and Venezuela and Cuba, and they're talking about human rights and they are condemning Israel. I mean, they used it as a vehicle to condemn Israel largely. And you just think, you know, are you like sitting in a warped reality? Is this like another, is it, you know, where am I? These real Countries with really bad track records when it comes to human rights are sitting here and preaching about them. It's quite bizarre. It is quite bizarre.
Okay, so you gave three different talks. Can you tell me about the three talks that you gave?
Yes, okay. So the first one was about the warning signs and the prevention of genocide. As I said, it was quite an inflammatory subject. And it had to do with, kind of hate speech or ideas turning into speech and speech turning into action, and how we've got to see that those speech as a warning sign of genocide. And then the second speech was about the freedom of religion and belief. And this really spoke to the fact that Jews, for the first time in probably 8 decades, have felt a threat to their identity and their religion and their beliefs. And with the levels of anti-Semitism that we've seen since the 7th of October, it's really something that needs to be addressed. And of course, anti-Semitism has been totally disproportionate. We've seen, racism and hatred on the rise, but anti-Semitism has been totally disproportionate. So that was something that I thought was so, I felt it was such an honor to be able to speak about it. And just on that topic, the World Jewish Congress is doing amazing work with organizations like UNESCO. And in Europe, they have special envoys to combat anti-Semitism. So there, the World Jewish Congress will be working with these organizations to combat anti-Semitism. And then the last speech that I did, which was one that I found quite unusual from the outset, but it was probably the highlight for me of the trip, was so it was on the right of people with albinism to enjoy human rights, equal rights. And here the special expert spoke about things like people with albinism having access to medical care that pertains to them. So like dermatological care and optical care for impaired vision. And then of course the discrimination and the stigmatization of, that people with albinism have faced. The fact that they've been excluded from opportunities that their peers have been exposed to. And two things struck me with this one. One, that people who are different experience the same type of exclusion. So we've seen this historically with Jews. We've been excluded from circles. There have been certain, education opportunities that we've been excluded from. And so we experience that same type of hurt and exclusion. And the second thing that struck me was that there's a huge amount of power in minorities sticking up for each other and advocating for each other. And when I was in the room, they call this big hall room 20. This is where all the interactive dialogues take place. It felt like such a privilege to be there to speak for another minority group.
Oh, incredible. And it is such a pressing issue, especially in South Africa, where they face such real discrimination as well, very practical.
Yes, absolutely.
Danny, what was the response to your speeches?
So in my speech about freedom of religion and belief, I mentioned that South Africa has successfully established the Cultural, Linguistic and Religious Commission, which is a body that deals with things like, the fact that we are all different, and that we in South Africa, we are a rainbow nation and we should celebrate our differences rather than ignore them. And so it's funny, the representative of South Africa at the Human Rights Council actually came up to me afterwards, and she was quite receptive, and she was quite happy that I had mentioned South Africa in such a positive light. She mentioned that a lot of NGOs don't, so she was happy to have heard that. But from a South African point of view, it was also important for me to go as a South African, not as the government and not as an ANC representative, but as a South African, and advocate for the tolerance of South Africans as well. We're lucky that we live in a very tolerant society, and I think the world needs to know that as well. So it was a bit of my Jewish identity and my South African identity came together there.
It's fantastic. I actually wanted to ask you specifically about what the response by the South African representative was. So she was obviously very warm. In response to your comments on genocide, did she?
No, there was no. I got no feedback At all. It is quite a formal, you know, it's not a debate where somebody can talk and then somebody else debates with them. So you have your 1 minute 30. Also, I was there representing the World Jewish Congress, not representing Israel. So it is, although there is a very fine line, the focus with genocide was more on the Holocaust and that the Jewish people have very, very much gone through a real genocide. And also, Cherie, sorry, I also mentioned not to underplay the word genocide because it loses its meaning when people just flippantly mention that this is a genocide and that is a genocide, and it undermines the real atrocities that take place.
Yeah, I think I've seen the clip and it is extremely powerful. And that is a clip that kind of went viral, as it were, because everybody obviously is calling Israel's action in Gaza a genocide when it's clearly not. And they're doing so very consciously in the knowledge that the Jews have experienced a genocide in their past. So I think that was extremely powerful. Do you feel, I mean, you say it's a very formal context. Did you feel heard? Did you feel that what you had to say was heard?
I think particularly with the speech on the freedom of religion and belief, I do. The special rapporteur is a woman named Nazila Ganea. And she, I really do. In fact, I looked up and she was looking at me. I really do hope that I was heard. Yeah.
Did it feel hostile at any point? You know, you mentioned those countries that sit around and talk about, you know, human rights. Did you feel any hostility at all representing the World Jewish Congress?
No, I didn't feel, no, not open hostility. Their words, you know, when they're sitting and talking as a member state, of course, I felt a lot of hurt and a lot of, you know, irritation and anger at their words. But it's very much, I mean, lot of diplomacy, and yeah, and I suppose, you know, during the breaks and what have you, people sit with the people that they are friendly with.
Oh yeah, I understand that. So, but there's no real tension, you know. During the breaks, you just gravitate to those you feel comfortable with, and
no,
there's no active
absolutely
hostility between the members.
No, no. But what's interesting is that they have these side events, Charisse, where they have, it's a less formal arrangement, and it's almost like a breakaway session where and these forums are put on by NGOs. And the topic that I went to was human rights in Iran. And they had three people who were survivors of the Iranian regime's, like, basically their torture. And they felt, I mean, they were in the same room or the same building as the Iranian regime. And they're there speaking about the experiences that they've been subjected to. So I'm sure, you know, for me, I didn't feel hostility. For them, they must have felt a huge, you know, a huge amount of threat and because of what they've experienced. I mean, there was one, a trans woman, who'd been beaten and put in solitary confinement for 31 days. It's terrible. It's terrible what goes on there.
Yeah, and the irony of them sitting and castigating, yeah.
Totally.
We have run out of time, Danny, which is really unfortunate because I haven't even got to ask you what Geneva was like, and I'd love to know about
that.
Oh,
no. So. Geneva was wonderful, but Joburg is 10 times better.
And on that wonderful note, we have going to end it. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Cherie. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That is Dani Mosovitz. She represented the Jewish Diplomatic Corps of the World Jewish Congress at the United Nations, and she was telling me all about that.